Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 20th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. 11 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Fork in the Road. This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 20th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. 11 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Fork in the Road. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Jameson Gordon and is titled Fork in the Sky. Thanks for listening.
Picture it. Hamilton, Montana, 1993. I'm 16 years old. It's my first solo flight as a student pilot. I'm up in the air and I realize I can't do this. Backstory. Like a lot of people, I like watching big airplanes land. And the summer after my freshman year in high school, my dad and I were up in Missoula, and we drove by the airport, and we watched a jet come in. And my dad kind of offhandedly, he just turned to me and he said, "How'd you like to learn how to fly one of those?" I thought he was kidding, so I was like, "Sure." He wasn't really kidding, because the next week he took me down to Hamilton Aviation and signed me up for pilot lessons. I became the youngest student pilot in the Bitterroot Valley and the only female. No pressure, no pressure. So the first plane that I flew was a red Piper Cub. This plane had been built in the 40s. It was literally held together with duct tape. But it was a great plane, and I, you know, flew for about a year taking lessons after school and on the weekends, and it was a lot of fun at first, and then one day, all of a sudden, it just wasn't. It was my dad's dream to be a pilot, but my dad was an older man. He was a World War II Navy veteran. He was stationed in the Pacific Theater. He was on aircraft carriers. But he wasn't a pilot. He was a chief petty officer. He never got to fly. And by the time he signed me up to do it, his health was so bad that he wouldn't have passed the physical exam that's required for all student pilots. So he was pretty much living vicariously through me. And, you know, I was a good daughter. I tried to please him. But as time went on, I realized my heart wasn't in it. And when your heart is not in something, when you are 10,000 feet up in the air, that's when you can get killed. Y'all are laughing, but fact, something like 90% of all small plane crashes are due to pilot error. And I was aware of that. I was terrified. I didn't love it. I wanted to stop, but I was afraid to disappoint my dad, so I just kept going. So, like I said, flew for about a year. I logged a lot of hours. I passed my written exam. I got my night flying done. Pretty much all that was left for me to do was fly solo. Start flying by myself, do a couple of long-distance flights, and then fly up to Helena to meet with the FAA agent to become licensed as a pilot. So we're at the day of my first solo flight. But this time, I was flying a red Cessna 172. Do you guys know why a lot of small planes are red or have, like, red in them? What? Okay. Red is not a color that's commonly found in nature. So in the event that the plane crashes in mountains and forests and water, it's easier to spot the wreckage. Yeah, like that's a little morbid tidbit for all of you. You're welcome. So it's the morning of my first solo flight, and my instructor, George, and I, we've been practicing what's called touch and goes, which is where you come in for a landing, you bring the plane down, you hit that runway, and then you push on the throttle and you just take off again. You circle around, enter your flight pattern, back to the runway, land, the minute you touch down, you take off again, touch and goes. It's just practice. And I don't know how many of those we had done, but at one point when I landed, George said, hey, taxi off to the side here. And I knew it was coming. So I taxied off to the side of the runway, and without any real ceremony or preamble, George just said, you go. And he got out of the co-pilot seat, and he shut the door to the plane, and he left me alone in there. And my heart was in my throat. I didn't know what to do except just start taxiing down to the end of that runway. I lined up the tail of my plane with the windsock because you want to line that up with the direction the windsock is blowing. You take off and land into the wind. And I got on the radio to announce myself to the surrounding air traffic. And at times when I was nervous, and this was one of those times, I would lisp on the radio. So I clicked on and I said, Hamilton traffic. This is Cessna 18269 Sierra, taking off runway 34, over. Smooth. It was time for me to take off, and so I just stared down that runway. I got myself centered, and I started slowly pushing it on the throttle, going faster and faster, accelerating while pulling back on the nose until I finally lifted up off the ground, and I was in the air, and I was flying that plane by myself. And in that moment, I said, I can't do this. I don't even remember how to land. This was not my idea. This was my dad's dream. It was not my dream. It's not what I wanted. I wanted to be a normal teenager. I wanted to focus on the speech team and run track and snog my boyfriend. I didn't want to be in a goddamn plane every weekend. And I had no idea how I was going to land. I was terrified, seriously. I entered my flight pattern to come around to the end, to where the runway was. And okay, I'll tell you what. So people who say that they've done like Microsoft Flight Simulator and all that crap, and they're like, I can land a plane, bullshit. Landing is a feeling in your gut. And if there are any pilots in here, you know what I'm talking about. It is a feeling. And I was looking for that feeling because I knew that was the only way I was not going to crash that plane. So I could see the runway ahead of me. It was coming up slowly. I was pulling back on the throttle. I extended my flaps, which is a hinged part of the wing that comes down and creates drag to help slow the plane down. And I am just watching, because if you do a landing right, if you do it correctly, you will not know when you touch the ground. You'll feel yourself sinking slower and lower and lower. And you'll see the nose tilting up, and you'll see that horizon, and you'll just be waiting and thinking, when am I going to touch down? When am I going to touch down? Any minute now. And if you do it right, it just kisses it, and it just, you stick it. And I stuck that landing. And I pulled back on the throttle, and I was pumping those brakes because I wanted to get off that runway as quick as I possibly freaking could. And I go over to the side, and my dad was there, and my instructor was there, and everyone was just, yay, woohoo, and I'm just ready to throw up. And there's this tradition, and I don't know why, but once a pilot solos for the first time, they take and they cut off your shirt tail. Don't know why. I knew that this was coming, so I was wearing a little crappy shirt. And they cut my shirt tail off, and they wrote my name and the date on it, and they tucked it up on the wall in the airplane hangar, and for all I know, it remains there to this day. But I knew I didn't want to get back up there in the air. But I did. I flew for about another year. I quit when I was 17 years old. I did not become a licensed pilot, and my dad pretty much disowned me. But I felt like I just had to be true to myself. And in the end, he forgave me. And I know more about flying than most of you, so that's my party trick. Now that I'm older and wiser and more mature and all that, I think about hiring an instructor, because I would still need one. I never got my license. Hiring an instructor and renting a plane and getting up there and seeing how much I remember and seeing if I'm still afraid or if maybe it's become my dream now too. And, you know, seeing if maybe I can still stick that landing. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jameson. Jameson Gordon holds a BFA in theater from the University of Montana. She is a former actress, writer, dancer, and artist. She is currently working on changing the status of these creative pursuits from former to currently. To pay the rent, Jameson works as a retail visual merchandiser. In her spare time, Jameson struggles to keep up with her 5-year-old daughter, who is already more talented and witty than Jameson will ever be. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers John Engen, Jameson Gordon, Neil McMahon, Harry Nyes, Pat Williams, David Allen Cates, Shoba Rao, Michael Marsalek, Becca Kelly, Tommy Peterson, and Allison Cox. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge. Bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local, house-made ingredients. Dining made different. View their menu and event schedule at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma. A locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com, the number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM, playing what they want. U 104.5 FM, finally, a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy and upbeat with a fun mix of top 40 favorites and upbeat alt-pop jams. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, and mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He is at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design and are proud supporters of the arts, hosting First Friday events every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. The Bookstore at the University of Montana. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashforJunkersMusic.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story. TellUsSomething.org. If you're interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at marc@tellussomething.org. That's mark@tellussomething.org.